2021. Welcome along, Peter Lynham.
Hey, well, nice to hear your voice. Happy New Year.
What's going on, mate? How was your break, if you had one?
My break? Oh, well, you know, glued to TV, had to replace my Kindle because it broke down.
Oh.
It's a serious situation.
For the eyes, yeah.
That's right, but it's back. The new one is in place and about to be put into action, actually.
Have they not made an app for, like, an iPod that will mimic a Kindle? Or is it, like,
yes,
the Kindle got a special screen?
It's the backlighting the Kindle that makes all the difference. You could actually read it out of doors very clearly.
Right.
You know, I want to read all the time. I want to read on buses and things. And looking at a phone is not very effective.
Nicer on the eyes. I actually use this flux thing on my computer that kind of dials back the brightness of the computer as it gets later at night, which is really good for just chilling out. Yeah.
Oh, so you can read late at night.
Yeah, well, just the screen of, like, when I'm trying to get my socials going and that, you know. Don't want it to be too white.
I mean, they clear lots of theories about the power of this and the way in which they've got little lights streaming in on the screen, but I don't know what I make of it. But it's certainly that the feel is very different.
Right on.
Do you read much fiction in your free time, Peter Lynham?
Yes, I do read quite a bit of fiction, but mostly non-fiction. But I have just subscribed to that Kindle Unlimited thing. They gave 3 months subscription with the new Kindle. And because I was feeling bitter and twisted that my old Kindle, it stopped because the button stopped working. If any of your listeners know how to get the button going again, I'd be immensely grateful.
Two Kindles at once.
I did not think Kindles would stick around. But here we are.
Yeah, well, this is my third Kindle that I've gone through in 12 or 13 years, so it feels to me almost
pretty
as many
good.
As you go through phones. So.
Do you read off the... Can you put notes on the Kindle and then read them off? Like, when you talk to us, do you have notes on the Kindle?
It is quite a good way to give a lecture, because it's just that you can get a bit lost when you're scrolling through a lecture on an ordinary phone.
Mm.
Whereas the Kindle, you know, it turns it into pages.
Right.
And you can flick it over. So if you're the sort of person who reads a lecture, then it works very well. I'm not that sort of person. And I've occasionally done lectures on Kindles and got myself into a real mess because I improvise. And then I can't see where I am.
Right.
And I don't know whether I've gone ahead or behind in my notes, and there's a certain panic sense.
Kindle's covered in post-it notes. Oh, it's not working.
Now, Peter Lynham, all eyes are on the US Capitol.
They are indeed. And
man, what a way to start the year. Jesus, well, do they know it's Christmas time at all, type of stuff?
I think they knew more than it was Christmas. It was Epiphany, the day on which it all happened. Now, you can read a deep religious significance into that if you are so inclined.
Okay.
So Epiphany is the appearing of Christ to the wise men.
Is Christ Donald Trump?
Oh, please, well, John. Go get a drink of water or something.
This is the interesting question, because I think that some of the people at the Capitol last Thursday for us, Wednesday for them, actually must have believed that it was Trump is Christ. And I say that because of the use of the signs, which were very prominent. I mean, admittedly, we got a very poor view of what was happening inside. But from outside, if you came from, I think it was the western side, you could see this enormous flag that seemed to say Jesus 2020. And I didn't quite know, because I didn't think Jesus was standing in the 2020 election. But you see, there's where I was wrong. Because apparently churches that were in favor of Donald Trump used the sign saying Jesus 2020, which appears to me that Trump was the anointed of God. So he didn't really need election. You see, he was the candidate.
The chosen. Okay.
The chosen one.
You've got to have a bit of a head start if your God is alive. Hey, that's a real bonus.
I mean, it's a powerful endorsement, isn't it?
Mm.
And so I do think that among the inane thoughts going through those people who were invading it, were at least some for whom this was the appointed of God.
Do you know where this has sprung from, Peter Lynham? Well, who's decided that Trump is Jesus?
Well, starts at the top, I think.
So it I can give you an almost precise explanation of this. This goes back to Trump's religious advisors. So he appointed a set of religious advisors, and he chose people who were intense advocates. And you know how the Trumpian sort of brain appears to work on an absolute standard of loyalty.
Did you just say Trumpian?
Yes.
Okay, carry on.
Trumpel-Stiltskin as well?
Yes. So this Trumpian logic appears to mean, it sounds good, Trumpian.
No, it's great. It's just a new word. I get a bit excited, new words.
It appears to mean that there was some kind of prophetic endorsement of Trump by a group of charismatic or Pentecostal people who held very staunchly that God had placed Trump on effectively, one wants to say, the throne of the state, because it was effectively a monarchical, not a presidential model that they were talking about. Mm. And so that group of people began releasing prophecies on a website called Elijah, I believe. And somebody who's expert in this area took me to this website. And it was like nothing else I had ever seen in my life. You get a prophecy a day of what did seem a little bit like reading the astrology charts for the day, but with a religious bent. And that whole stream of thought, which has some big followers, would have been one of the religious motivations that took this combination of backwoodsmen and the like to Washington to declare that this, absolutely had to happen. He had to have stolen the election because God had appointed him.
I was, just if you subscribe to the God aspect, isn't everything that happens meant to be in that sort of realm?
Yes, it has to be said that what we're dealing with is not ordinary religious thinking, though.
Okay.
This is religious thinking in which there's a little bit of a deal going on, and it's a deal between Trump and his supporters that Trump will be used to bless them and they will be used to bless Trump. So there's a fair bit of personal gain that's at stake. And when you look at the behavior of the people in the Capitol, there was an incredible sense, to my mind, looking at those people, that they believed they were asserting a right that they had to do what they wanted in that place, because nobody else had any right to be there than those who supported Trump. And so they weren't trying to have a fight. They were asserting and demanding that they could march in and kick anybody else out who had no right to be there.
It was the classic freedom America vibe, eh?
That's right. Where freedom has become the ultimate right. But it's also, it was curious because it's supporting such an astonishingly unworthy candidate to be elevated into this position. But I think in a way it reflects that thing running through the substratum of American society that, the person from the backwoods is the one who's got it right, and that everybody in Washington is actually under the control of the United Nations, and the United Nations and all these spying machines and the balloons up in the sky.
Chemtrails?
I was going to say chemtrails.
Yeah, that's right.
Fabulous. Peter, have you observed any frustration from religious groups following Trump's banning from social media?
What I have observed is that some of those people had begun speaking for him since he can't speak into that space.
Oh, chop off the head and a couple more grab.
And I might say I was very intrigued to see that one of Brian Tamaki's former pastors was echoing the Trump case of his right to be in power.
Hmm.
Now that's intriguing because it suggests that within the right-wing Pentecostal world of New Zealand, there is a similar support for this Trumpian cause.
Everybody's so jaded.
Well, yes, and of course, what I think they're all terrified of is that if Trump's going to pay a high price, so are his supporters.
And to them, is Joe Biden, if Trump is JC, or God, is Biden the devil? So,
Biden's being used by evil forces.
Okay, ooh. Cool. That's good. It's good for the script.
Yeah, that's right. The sad thing is that Biden, you know, the wicked communist, the pawn of Satan, is going to be the world's most boring president, unfortunately.
Boring, but the pawn of Satan.
Because his only possible...
He's so boring. He's the devil.
In the face of that kind of fanaticism, his only approach is going to be to go so cautiously and so collectively that the kinds of bold policies that the states desperately needs, he's not going to, even if he wanted to, he's not going to be in a position to introduce.
It sounds like it might free up the press to do some press.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that it's all doom and gloom, but, I mean, how does America recover from this? And I certainly think it's going to further accentuate the decline of the Pentecostal evangelical cause of the States.
Right, interesting.
It's going to pay the price for that fortune.
Okay, and we'll be here documenting it, no doubt. Thank you.
We will.
Thanks, Peter. It's always a pleasure, mate.
It's great to be back.
Toodles.
See you next week.